three, two, one, do we eat? Welcome to the Undefined Podcast. I'm Jared Palmer.
And I'm Ken Wheeler. And today, we ain't got nobody on this shit. It's just us.
Just us. We're here at Back Endless Conf. And by here, I mean everywhere. We're on the interwebs. Doing a special episode live on tape. So, hello, Kenneth.
Hello, Jared. What's that fine beverage you're sipping this evening?
We do a little drink check here, folks. And if you haven't been with us before on the Undefined Podcast, there's a 2-drink minimum. And I am drinking Casamigos, tequila, and a soda.
Which one?
The regular one.
Reposado or Añejo?
Just the regular one. Just the Blanco.
Okay.
But when I go out later tonight, I'm probably going to – like my new drink is Reposado and soda.
For anybody who's viewing this, I need you to acknowledge something, right? So I always sat here and I thought that Jared was just that naturally better looking than me. And then I go to his apartment last week and this dude has like a fucking Hollywood movie set up for the video camera on it. Do the zoom. Show him the zoom.
The zoom action? A little zoom?
Yeah. He's got like a fucking light and shit and like this like thing on a gimbal.
Yo,
look at this shit. Look at this shit.
That's like my computer.
It's like a fucking episode of Property Brothers. I have like a webcam that was like $20 off of Amazon.
Ken's image, Ken's video wasn't working, so he had to call in on the phone. And so we're gonna actually maybe have to do this episode on a phone.
Yeah, but not now. So
now we're lit.
We got mics and shit. We're chilling.
We're chilling.
Yeah,
anyways.
I'm drinking some red wine at the moment.
Ooh, look at you. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I had half a bottle of bourbon earlier, so
Here you go. So today's topic of discussion and why we're all here today is Back Endless, the Jamstack, the future, right? Like, fuck this MVC stuff. Jamstack's pretty real. I build everything with a Jamstack, technically speaking. We're all like API first. Ken, what's your experience with Jamstack stuff?
So mostly for independent stuff, right? Like at work, it's mostly on-prem. And
right.
It's been like that for a long time. But anytime I want to do anything, I'll generally do some Jamstack variant on the basis that I don't fucking feel like dealing with servers. And I know you can relate to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. I started in like the Parse Firebase. Like I've built so much like stuff with both of those. And so like the Jamstack is like clearly the extension of that. I mean,
you started with those?
No, I started with like OG like Framer CoffeeScript, and then I like moved on to React and did like Parse had just come out and Firebase just come out, and then I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I built a bunch of stuff there, and then I learned like Node, like how to actually build a server, and then from there I was like, why am I using Parse? I should just use Mongo or just use Postgres or whatever, and sort of graduated. But no, I have like a special place in my heart for Parse and Firebase because like, yeah,
Parse was like my favorite.
Parse was
was my absolute favorite
by
of
far.
All time. I built so much shit on Parse.
So
and
much
then,
shit.
Very recently I've come back to Firebase and I like it. I really do.
Yeah. The one thing that gets me about Firebase a little bit is, it's like NoSQL, but it's a little different than Mongo because you actually like, if you want to like search by something that's nullable or like empty or filter by like a great example is like, give me a list of the to-dos that haven't been deleted yet. Right. So maybe you make a key in Firebase, like delete at, but that has to be null in order for you to like query by it. And that's just like a little different than the way we usually do things in like Mongo land usually. So it's like a little frustrating from a data modeling perspective, but once you get past it, it's like, once you get the hang of it, like it's very productive.
I like it and I like all the things that come with it. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot. Can I just address something real quick? I had a cold, so that's what this is all about.
Usually when you put that down there, you're in a dark room, Ken.
I had a cold, all right? I saw it. I spied it. I said, right now, there's probably some jokes flying around, but no, I had a cold and you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I like it, right? But like, as far as what I did for a while, and I don't know if you encountered this as well, but like, one thing that I really don't like doing is managing my own GraphQL shit.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Well, it can be. I shouldn't say it's always brutal. It can be brutal.
It can be brutal, but like, I did like two of the GraphQL platforms of service, and they both died, and it broke my fucking heart.
One was bought by Amazon, right? Reindex or something? No, maybe I'm making shit up. One became Amplify, right?
It was Reindex.
I thought one became Amplify or something like that.
There was Graph.cool, which is my fucking favorite.
Isn't that Prisma? Isn't that the same company as Prisma?
Yeah, but it's not Graph.cool anymore.
Oh, they changed it up. Yeah, the Prisma thing I think is cool.
Prisma is great.
I think it's cool.
There's a new one. I saw there was some fucking article on Scotch by the big homie Chris Nwamba.
We got to get him on the show.
Yeah, we really fucking do, dude. He's the man. Yeah, so he built this one, and it was one that I hadn't seen before. I'm just looking it up. 8Base. Have you seen 8Base?
No, what's 8Base?
It looks like it fucks. I haven't gotten a chance to actually like really try it yet, but it looks like it fucks. So, yeah, anytime
Wait, Chris
I don't
built
have to
this?
GraphQL. No, he didn't build that. He did a tutorial on Scotch, like how to build like a ticketing app, but like
yeah.
And he uses 8Base.
This looks cool.
Like his platform as a service.
That's pretty sweet. This looks like Parsi. Dude, Parse, by the way, Parse is still like an open source project. I didn't really know that. I mean, I knew it was open source, but I didn't realize it was actively developed.
Yeah.
But dude, it is active, and they just added a GraphQL API to it. So like that was always kind of the weird thing with like Parse and React. They didn't really play nicely with each other because of like the way the subscriptions worked. But there's like a GraphQL API now for Parse. So that's pretty tight. I got to play with that. I don't know. It's like Parse gives you like the first like 2 weeks of stuff for free.
I have one of my first repos on GitHub is Parse to Do's. And it has one star. We're going to tell you who it is right now. VK, a fellow by the name of Kuhel. And I built to do's with a backbone variant called Thorax, which basically like it gave you the opportunity to do like sub views. This was 6 years ago.
Isn't it
I did
crazy
parse to do's.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And Parse actually had it super right? Like they had those cloud functions, which are basically lambdas, but they didn't, it's like pretty close. That was pretty tight. But yeah, good times, Parse. Great times. I think we're going to get back to something like kind of like close to that. I think that's what really like all these like Zeit, like actually the serverless stuff it gets back to, right? It's like you don't need to manage the actual server. You pay for what you use, right? That's pretty sweet. I think generation one serverless was ass, but we're in the point now where you don't notice that it's serverless when you're developing locally. And that's like a huge difference, right? Like when it really felt different, then it was like not as great. And I feel like now we're at a point like the thing like Now Dev, have you seen that thing? It like does all the proxying.
Is that the thing that you can send Rust to and it'll run it as a Lambda?
Now Dev is just like if you want to run your now like routing like route setup locally, like you just run Now Dev instead of like whatever your now dot whatever like is in your now.json, it will just run it locally.
Whoa, it scaffolds like a fucking local
serverless
thing that you can hit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's
you
crazy.
You can proxy like other APIs too. Like I was doing that yesterday. I was like proxying like. The dev version.
Did you see that shit where you could deploy like fucking Rust lambdas to now?
Say what? Oh, you can deploy anything to now, I think. Oh, they add like a special cargo builder or something?
You could totally do it. It's you can I believe so, yeah. Yeah, there's Rust lambda functions.
That's pretty
and
wild.
That fucks. That
how much,
fucks,
how much
dude.
Rust have you written?
A pretty good amount.
Yeah, I gotta dive into it. We were talking about it with the Yanni on the other episode.
I haven't gone like as hard as I've gone with like C++ or anything, but like I've gone reasonably hard. I always get tripped up on lifetimes because memory management fucks me up because I'm stupid.
Right. That's the thing. That's like the special thing for it, right?
Yeah, if you want to do something real rowdy, man, this shit is pretty rapid.
Yeah. So like I saw this tweet today that was like. Someone said that React was going to be the last front-end framework because everything else is going to be no code after this. What are your thoughts?
I think that's fucking bullshit, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, no code is great. Like, if designers want to make, like, reasonably complex websites. But it can't cover everything.
No, I don't think I don't know. I think like no code is a step we'll get to. I just don't think it's like, and I think there'll be a certain classification of application that will do stuff. But the idea that like everything will be like no code is I think a little bit much. But certainly like going from
do you know why no code is not going to be a thing?
Okay,
because. Why? If no code was a thing, then you wouldn't be writing code for iPhone apps. Like there's interface builder for sure, right? And that gets you halfway there, but there's never no code.
Right. There's low code environments where you just need to write business logic. That seems like a very likely future potentially, right? Where we have like, did you see the thing that Eric Clements put out today where it was like augmenting the Tailwind like classes? In Next.js,
no,
that was crazy, dude. Look at Eric Clemens' stuff. I'll put the link in. Fucking wild, dude.
E-Clem's going ham.
Yeah, going ham.
What do you think, dude? Do you think this no-code shit has any steam?
I don't think no-code is a good term, personally. I don't think tools that don't allow you to code will succeed. I think that's a very you need, like everything in life, you need escape hatches. And yeah, the escape hatches are like... Basically, like, never bet against coding, and that's code is the ultimate escape hatch, like, in any system. And
it's not even an escape hatch, dude. It's a fucking essential. Like, think about some shit that we really like, right? And that is Visual Basic and Flash.
Right.
They were not no code.
No, they were low code tools.
They were low code tools. So you would go and you would do tedious UI shit, and you'd lay it out, and then any interaction with that, any population of data... Anything right. like that, you had a fucking code window that you would do.
Right, and that's where this really breaks down. All this shit breaks down, the no-code stuff, when it's like, I need to loop around an array and do like map filter reduce, and they fail miserably 9 times out of 10. Anybody shows me a no-code tool, like the first words out of my mouth are show me how to map filter reduce.
Even if they succeed, it's a fucking pain in the ass.
Right, or it's a pain in the ass, right? And that's, yeah. And it's like, if you just gave me Lodash, or you just gave me like, Python, like some list comprehension.
Just give me a fucking window with a script.
Right.
You know, and then like, you know, I'll just write the shit, right? Like, so I think that CSS in general can be replaced with no code.
I believe that's probably right. Some of the architecture on the, like, yes.
For sure.
Like Webflow is very close to replacing a lot of that stuff, right? Like.
Yeah. And animation too.
Right. Yeah. That, you know what? I think perhaps the best part of Webflow is like the animation side of it. I'm not like,
yeah.
I think it's cool to do the layout thing, but like, to be honest, like Figma does the layout thing and it's like also React. So it's also like impressive. I mean, obviously you don't like deploy a Figma site, but like my point is that I'm not as impressed by the layout stuff. Cause I always find with those Dreamweaver like tools, it's kind of weird when you were like dragging your mouse around and you're going like in and out of nested tags, like div tags and stuff. I always found managing that like very odd. And that's not a design thing, right? Like, why do I care about the structure of this? It should just figure it out, you know?
But the animation thing
is pretty tight.
Like, I think it comes down to ergonomics, right? And I think for UI layout and for animations, it's better ergonomics to use a GUI builder.
For maybe laying things out, sure. My point was like, the layout, these kind of tools always like crush me when I have to like deal with when they're like kind of half and half, like Webflow is, where you have to like figure out the DOM structure too to get like the nested thing in the right place.
Yeah,
that just is sometimes I feel like it should just do it and figure it out. And I understand why it's really hard to do that. It's like a very hard problem, right? Like the right amount of nesting, but still, it's like,
Have you ever used Webflow?
Yeah, I tried to build this landing page with it the other day. It's actually like. I found it to be more complicated than I thought it was going to be. It's pretty powerful, but it was clear that like,
there's a curve on it for sure.
Read some tutorials about how to do things right. And there is some skill stuff. I was going to like probably check out, I think like, was it Mengto or Mengtu has like, maybe the Design Plus Code is a Webflow thing. I don't know. I was going to look there. They have some crazy design stuff, but maybe not. I don't know. I think their site was in Webflow, or maybe you just tweeted that.
Have you
done anything?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, I echo a similar sentiment where, you know, it's good, but it's, you're very much, learning to use the tool as well.
Yes. Yes. I felt like maybe if I knew how it all worked, I'd be productive with it, but I wasn't there. I wasn't, and I couldn't really judge it because I wasn't there yet.
And it's discouraging for me personally, because I'm like, I could fucking do this with code. And like,
exactly. I was very frustrated.
Eighth of the time.
Oh, my immediate reaction was like, let me use you some Tailwind, right? And just crank this out.
Not even Tailwind. I fucking do that shit in goddamn Notepad. But I'm just saying, like, it's if I got familiar with it, like, I'd probably get good at layouts and shit like that. But like, it's not a place where I'd want to write business logic.
No, no. Although they have a decent CMS in it. Like, they have like forms, they have like other stuff. It's kind of, it's promising.
Yeah, and that's cool. And you know, you can bet on that. But like, you know, anything that I'm getting paid for, I feel like wouldn't be the case.
For now. I think it's still like early days. I also think that like, it's only half the battle, right? Like, the way it looks is very, very fucking important. And the overall feel, like, we just keep pushing the bounds higher and higher and higher, but you're still going to have business logic that's going to need to be deployed to some serverless system, or you're going to need to integrate it with like a Zapier or something else that's coming out, like something, right? Like some workflow tool. And like, I guess, or writing some code and deploying it to something like that, right? Like,
did you write a lot of Flash?
No, I wrote a little bit of Flash in high school. I did.
But you really, you weren't professional at that point.
No.
So Flash, ActionScript 2, right? It was almost all GUI, right? Like, you would do almost everything GUI. And it was cool, right? You would still do like event handling and shit like that, like with code, like you double click the thing and you put code in there. But then when ActionScript 3 came out, anytime you wanted to do anything like truly non-trivial, a lot of the time you'd bypass all that shit altogether, right? You'd write ActionScript 3 and just script all the shit, right? Like, right. You'd do like some like cursory fucking layout. But like, outside of that, like, you know, if you're writing some baller shit, most of the time you'd go right to the code, right? Because it was just a better way to do it. And I think that the tool that comes out that strikes a good balance there, when we get Visual Basic for the web, that's going to be the one that does it.
Yeah. The OG, before they changed it to Framer X, the OG Framer had this thing where it was intelligent about like your CoffeeScript. So in the old framework was a CoffeeScript framework that had some layout primitives, and it was a fixed width screen and a fixed dimension screen. And they had in the editor, they had tools where you could, it knew about your layers and like inferred it, and you could like click the layer, like the declaration of the layer in CoffeeScript, and then adjust it. And you could click the state and adjust the state, the different, is it a state machine, and adjust it. And then it would sync your code to the like layout
system.
That's
fucking sick.
It was dope. And it was like, if you want to do simple layout, simple state machines, it was so powerful. But it's not.
Did you write CoffeeScript?
Yeah, that's how I learned JavaScript, was through CoffeeScript.
I wrote so much CoffeeScript. Did you do like Haml and all that shit too?
No, I mean, like, I actually find Pug and Jade or whatever, like, very hard to read. But like, I know how it works. I just like, that was basically when I started learning CoffeeScript JavaScript, and I missed that phase.
You ever see the shit on like CodePen where people like do like Sast and Pug or Jade or some shit like together, and they like,
I find that extremely frustrating now, because I'm like,
unbelievable.
It's so frustrating.
It's so crazy though. Like, you look at it and you're like, wow, holy shit. Like, I would never do that, but
think
like,
about Ruby's influence.
Fucking
though.
So impressive.
Think about Ruby's influence.
Dude, it's undeniable.
Right. Have you played with Elixir and like Phoenix?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like Erlang.
It's hard.
It is hard. I don't like it.
It's so hard. I was reading the docs the other day. I was like, I'm not getting any of this. This is not clicking.
I'd rather write fucking Scala than that shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I don't know. It seems
no,
tough.
No, but the people who actually make it past the hump fucking love the shit out of it.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about the guys from Infinite Red. They,
Jamin. Jamin fucking loves the shit.
Jamin and I were jamming on that in Poland. We were talking about it. And like, they do a lot of stuff in Phoenix now.
Yeah, a lot of people if you do it, same thing with Rust. Like, if you make it over the hump, like, you love the fucking shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, what were you going to build with Rust? I mean, you could do some WebAssembly stuff with Rust, right? But like, what else?
So there mostly WASM stuff. Like, I was doing stuff to offload shit to WASM and then writing it in Rust, which I've done. But then I saw this thing called Yew, Y-E-W. Mm-hmm. It's like a React implementation sort of thing, like a React Elmy kind of deal, but it's in Rust. Okay. It runs in like Workers and Wasm. It just felt like the Cybertruck of development frameworks.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So you got a Cybertruck, right?
Obviously.
I told my family and I showed it to them at Thanksgiving, and like, it was very contentious. They were like, Jared, no.
Really?
Yeah,
who was opposed? The youngins or the oldins?
My mom was just not a fan. She's like, I'm never getting in that car. And I was like,
oh, look at that thing. It's obscene.
She's like, I don't want that in the, I don't want that in the parking. I don't want that in the garage. No. I was like, okay, well then move to a different house.
I'll tell you what, dude, that truck fucks, dude. You fucks come home hard. And you see that fucking truck in your driveway, you better call a fucking lawyer, chief.
Yeah, I know.
That shit is fucking sweet.
It's so sweet. So sweet. The, unbelievable. Do you think the ball going through the window was a mistake, or was, do you think that was on purpose?
I think that shit was on purpose.
Me too.
Like, obviously just on purpose.
Extra stuff. Dude, it's so funny.
If we're talking Jamstack stuff, have you used Gatsby? What do you feel about Gatsby? Like,
so I have this article that I've been writing about for the last, like, I don't know, call it, it was me. For the last, sorry. So I just read this article that I'm writing. It's about 2,000 words. And here's my take. I talked to, first of all, Kyle, personal friend, Guillermo, personal friend. I love them both. I have two anecdotes. First anecdote, I was building this site for this club. A friend of mine is about to, I'm actually going to go to this opening tonight, but anyway, and they wanted Instagram on their gallery. They wanted a gallery page and they wanted to pull their Instagram photos. And it's a Gatsby site. And I was like, okay, let's see if I can, there's like a Gatsby source plugin for Instagram. So I Google it and lo and behold, 2 seconds, there's like a, you can get the last 12 photos without an API key, which is cool. Put in their username and boom, dude, I like copy pasted the GraphQL query into the code base. And dude, like Ken, within 3 minutes I had their Instagram photos like loading into a Nuka carousel, like your Formidable Labs Nuka thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that thing, like I had that shit rocking in 3 minutes, which was,
I wrote
awesome.
That shit.
So there you go. So Ken Wheeler, holla, new carousel. Anyways, that was awesome. But then I had a different experience with the Undefined my dad's podcast site, this thing about this.fm, which is just the same as the Undefined podcast site, undefined.fm. I copied it, also a Gatsby site. And the way that these Gatsby sites work is we use Simplecast for hosting, as you know, for podcast hosting as our CMS, and is an RSS feed. And so I massaged the Gatsby source RSS feed to work for our podcast content. And what happens when we publish a new episode, the site rebuilds and it pulls in the info from the RSS feed and generates all the pages and whatnot. But my dad's site had like a preview episode and it exploded the integration, dude.
Like what happened?
So like Gatsby does this shit that's awesome, but also terrible. When you're writing a source plugin, it infers the type of the GraphQL type based on the thing's definition. So that's fine as long as everything is always defined. But basically I had a null bomb in there and it was impossible to debug. Because like literally had no ability to understand. It was like one episode in the RSS feed on one field and the entire GraphQL schema was like not added to the graph.
Fuck.
Of Gatsby. So, and again, like at the end of this, that point, this point is like illustrated, to go on this rant, this point is illustrated because I actually think that GraphQL is actually quite annoying for like this kind of static site, and it should just be an implementation detail. Like, let's go back to my first story about like the awesome happy path of getting those Instagram posts, right? You know what would have been more dope than having to copy the GraphQL query into the page?
What?
Having the fucking data as props and not having to do GraphQL. That would have been more dope, right? Like just having it work.
Presumably.
Right? Like, what's the difference? Trucking what, like a 2 bytes? 3 bytes? Like, who gives a shit? So, like, I feel like GraphQL should be an implementation detail, and right now it's not in Gatsby. And so that's where, like, I feel like there's a lot of... Now, they're doing cool stuff with it, and I think it's a good I think, so let me put it this way. I think it's correct that the like GraphQL is the correct way to do this. I just don't think anybody that is using the system should have to touch GraphQL. That's my
So thing. One thing that I have to say about that is that Gatsby was the first thing that made me realize the inherent value of GraphQL. So people will tell you that GraphQL is valuable because it'll give you smaller pay. You can get these a la carte payloads. That's fucking bullshit. There's two reasons why GraphQL is the shit and it's not a la carte payloads. One is that it consolidates APIs.
Sure.
You can have a variety of data sources under one banner.
We're going to come back to that.
Rowdy unversioned banner, but I digress. The second is that you can resolve fucking anything, right? I didn't fully internalize that you can resolve anything until I saw Gatsby using GraphQL APIs to access fucking disk file content. Like, that was crazy to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. But again, would you rather have, you want those props, right? But do you give a shit whether they're all of the Instagram photos, then all of the data, or just like your little slice you need? You don't care. You just want the props.
I don't give a shit. Someone might. I don't. Right.
Well, my point is most people don't. And so that's where that thing, that's where my take is there. And then also, by the way,
use Urkel.
Right. No, and I just meant GraphQL in general. Like, let's just go back to static site generation just as a whole. If I presented you with the problem of integrate some data, why are you, a blank editor, you're not going to, if you really wanted universal data, you would go for one graph or something, right?
Yeah, obviously.
But that's not what you would do. Like, presumably, Ken.
No, not in Gatsby, I wouldn't.
So this is my point, which is I think the GraphQL is like a middleman.
Yeah, I mean it's the protocol. I'm literally NPM publishing something while I'm on the phone with you. Well, we're not on the phone. We're on a live podcast, but I'm still NPM publishing.
What are you publishing? With my
left fucking hand.
Why are you publishing?
Some internal component that I was sent a message from none other than Jay Phelps, who asked me to do him a solid. So few things would interrupt a podcast, but when Jay Phelps asked for a solid, you know what you do? You fucking do Jay Phelps a solid.
Wow. The most professional thing ever.
That's how it goes, man.
Well, anyways, I hope it was a good package.
I think it's a fine package.
So my point is, I think this additional complexity is not necessarily worth it for your fucking three post blog.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You have like a 475 post blog?
Yeah, maybe. I still think that, like, dude, it just, like, I feel like if you're doing, I'm still, like, unconvinced that unless you're building a full-ass WordPress theme that you need GraphQL, and even then I'm, like, not even
You sure. ready for a hot take?
Okay.
I wouldn't even fucking use Gatsby for a blog.
Neither would I.
I'd use it for other shit.
Interesting. Like what?
I feel like any site that is reasonably complex that can be served in a static manner should be served in a static manner.
Yeah. But what I love about Next recently, and I've like been in a, like I've been using Next for a bunch of shit recently.
Yeah.
And what I like about Next is that it doesn't have to be static and it can be dynamic. And that's actually like pretty tight. For example, like this thing I'm building now, like the app itself. So like the landing pages are static. There's a dynamic like SPA style app and there's some server rendered shit and it's all in one universe. All deployed to Zite. It's pretty tight.
Well, yeah, dude, their whole shit is so fucking tight. Like their whole developer experience, like soup to nuts, is out of control.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's unreal. I would have had to do like app.blank.com and then something else. It's just all under one hood now. And it's all one code base, which is pretty sweet.
I remember talking with Guillermo about the whole server rendering thing, and it's just a brilliant approach.
Have you seen SWR?
No.
The stale while revalidate or whatever, their data fetching thing, the Zite data fetching thing? Mint.
What the fuck is that?
So SWR does like stale while revalidate. It's basically like a hooks cache for data fetching. You give it a key and you give it a function and it like figures out when it should refetch based on focus and stuff. It's kind of cool.
While we're here talking about hooks, can we fucking agree that hooks are a pain in the ass?
I just want to say that I've been a kind of against hooks, like lightly, but also not so lightly.
So I just want to share an anecdote that I ran into today, and it's fucking pissing me off. I might be speaking out of fucking turn here and talking a little bit of shit, but this fucking ground my gears, boy. I'll tell you what. So I'm writing this shit today, and we're sitting there, and we have a scenario where use effect, right? Which presumably should run on mount. Am I right?
It's the hook.
It runs on mount. It's the first one. It should run on mount. We're going to establish that as a baseline, right?
Yep.
Okay, so it renders the shit's not loaded yet, loading spinner or whatever. All right. Even with the data coming back, use effect for the mount did not run until 5 seconds later.
What?
Yeah. It renders the spinner, but the actual use effect, right? Like your hook, your component, right? Which has a hook in it, renders the UI. UI is rendered. 5 fucking seconds later, use effect runs. Do you know why?
I don't know.
Because the main thread was busy with request animation frame shit because we have a bunch of Canvas shit going on. So there's some magical shit with however the fuck. So in all the docs, it says use effect runs after the browser does its paint, right? And, you know, you and I both know that's fucking bullshit. It's like, what do you have? Some fucking magical browser fucking on paint callback? Like, how the fuck does this work, right? Like, you know, it doesn't just draw on paint. Like,
user request animation frame.
Yeah. So it gets stalled out, right? So my RAF
you stalled React, basically.
My RAF loop is starving the request animation frame. So for some reason, use effect calls way later. I come to find out, I go in and I look that use layout effect is synchronous. Yeah. And we had to use that if we wanted our shit not to be delayed.
Yeah, I have to use layout effect in Formic for like a ton of shit that's like kind of crazy.
Yeah, because otherwise it's going to get delayed.
You can't guarantee use effect ever. Ever. You can actually never guarantee it. Oh, it actually just made me think if I could solve a bug. I actually need to solve this bug. People were commenting that validate on mount in Formic was like running infinitely. I should just pause that and use layout effect.
Mm-hmm.
Be done. I guess like, or like my isomorphic use layout effect just runs like use layout effect on the fucking server and use effect on the server and use layout effect on the client.
Yeah, because layout effect doesn't run on the server.
Which is whack. But anyways, the point is that you don't need your errors on the server, so you just run it on the client. But my point is that like I have found more, like there are two things that I've thought about with hooks. One, I guess I didn't really know React that well. But I sure felt productive before.
What I'm trying to say to you is, if we don't know React that well, who the fuck does? We're on fucking stage talking about this shit all day long.
I know.
I've been writing this shit for 6 fucking years.
I know. It's bad. Like, dude, you were on like stage, you're like, use callback, and you had to look it up. It's on stage at React Advanced. Like, and this is the thing. Like, I actually wrote this to Dan in a DM, and I wrote this article on my blog. Like, I wrote, like, React is becoming a black box. And the answer to that is that it's becoming so complicated that it's like, one, you can't, most people don't understand how it works, and even experts don't understand how it works. And it's just like, we have these mental models of how it works and they're not right.
Yeah. It's not right.
Like my mental model is wrong and I know it's wrong and it's okay. Cause like, I think it works, but dude, I've been in some bugs recently in Formic where I was just like, I actually don't know what to do. Like legitimately don't know how to approach this problem.
Well, it's like prior. So the hook for me, right, was, oh God. For me, it was like you just write JavaScript. And now you're not just writing JavaScript anymore.
No, you're writing weird. Dude, like, oh, so this is the other thing. So, you know, I said how like Formic 2's backwards compatible. I made a big deal about that.
Yeah.
Turns out I was wrong because, people were putting refs on the class and I didn't implement, who the fuck knows? I didn't implement use imperative handle and put the entire formic, like what would have been instance functions on the class onto the function because you need
onto
to do
the
that.
Hook.
Onto the hook. Right. I didn't do that. So like
they were relying on that.
They were relying on that. And I was like, oh, dude, what the fuck?
Do you, so like you're dealing with this now. Do you have any idea what that was like dealing with that for Slick Carousel?
Anyways.
So if you're in a serverless situation, what are you going for these days?
All right. So full stop. We use a thing for our main APIs that's really fast and very productive. And I showed it to you the other day. It's Drop Wizard, but it's not serverless. Yeah. And this is kind of a bummer. I'm hoping to like perhaps write my own JVM Kotlin framework that works with serverless infrastructure, because that would be ideal. But I think that like if I were to like re-architect some of the shit that I've been working on, I will probably do some TypeScript stuff. I mean, I actually don't think Node.js is a good backend language because it's like not typed.
And I don't think it is either.
So like, I'm kind of like, you know what I really kind of wish worked out? You ever see that thing that Facebook was working on, like Skiplang? Like that was pretty tight.
No.
Yeah, like some language they're working on. I don't know. I don't. I'm kind
oh,
of.
Oh wait, yes, I did. That was the thing. Was fucking Viju was working on.
Yeah, dude, it was cool.
Yeah, that was sick.
I was like, why did that come out? That would have been sweet.
It was like a rapid subset, right? Like,
yeah, it was. I don't know. So like, I don't know. We write in the. I think like, if I'm writing a serverless function, it's going to be in TypeScript. Like that's guaranteed 100%. Like at this point, right? But and I think they're useful for so many things. And like, I just wrote one the other day, today that was like. So I moved Formic to a Lerna monorepo, and like
some of my
publishing tools weren't there, and I need to like aggregate some release notes. And so like I wrote a serverless function to like queue the release notes up. I don't know. Again, I think JavaScript is like the de facto language of serverless, but I know Python is also super popular. I don't know. What about you?
Python is good.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about the Rust thing, really, to be honest with you. Like if I'm going to get an opportunity to call something outside of JavaScript, I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to do it in JavaScript.
Yeah, but I guess my point is like,
I guess it's faster to do in JavaScript.
Nothing's fast. Like I feel like serverless is a billing system and target and shouldn't be a development workflow.
Fair.
Like I don't think my development experience should be deeply impacted by serverless, if that makes sense, in my awesome future.
I kind of shied away from it initially because it was
my point. You could like zip it up and upload it right now. It's not
It's a big pain in the ass, but now it's hard to ignore because it's so fucking easy to do.
I know it's actually insane. And also like what we're seeing so I've been saying this like to friends and stuff, I actually think the Jamstack in like 2 years is not going to be like the A is not going to stand for API. It's going to stand for automation. And you're going to see this like merging of like the low code shit and a little bit of JavaScript, a little bit of TypeScript, a little bit of Python, a little bit of Rust, a little bit of whatever. The business logic is going to be code still, but the minutia and all the side effects and stuff, like the logging and the ping to Slack and send it to Zendesk and all that shit, is going to be
money.
Low code, right? Like it's going to be low code stuff.
Hey, Jar, did you know that there's actually a server? It's not actually serverless.
Right? Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy that there's actually a server.
I know, but there's no session.
Which is good.
Yeah. I think they also figured out the security model, which is kind of questionable. And now it's like more viable,
so,
right?
As a person who is currently managing an on-prem server.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily a server, but an API. Fuck servers and fuck managing it personally.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really hard.
It's not just tough. It's the fucking worst.
It's really hard. Especially the on-prem stuff, because you just have no one to go to, right? There's no support.
Well, on-prem, you get like half of one box that's like a dev box, and then like somebody else is using it as a prod box. So if there's a problem, yeah, it's like, it's almost as bad as configuring AWS. Who said that? Not me.
Not me. Anyways, the that's for a different podcast. We'll have like an AWS podcast where
we should have Natter on and fuck with him.
Yeah, we should. We should do that again. They're doing cool stuff with Amplify. They're doing cool stuff with the Amplify is pretty legit. But I just want to say
Amplify is fucking sick, dude.
I just want to say that I one day want to ship. I want to own a product that is so complicated that I need another version of my product to simplify my original product.
Squad goals.
But no, Amplify is great. I think like all this stuff is great. I'm excited to see like what developing apps are going to be like in 2022. Like that's going to be wild.
Hopefully we'll have both transitioned to management or ownership at that point.
So that I don't know. Like, I feel like we're still going to be doing stuff. Like we're still going to write functions. Like I'm still like, feel like that's the,
yeah, for sure. I mean, all the, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I will be if only for shits and giggles.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's also probably some like embedded stuff that could be interesting. Like, I don't know, other targets like IoT functions. I don't know. There's some cool
have
stuff
you
going on there.
Have you done any QT work?
Oh, quantum computing? Wait, is that what you meant?
No. QT, like QT framework, like C++, like embedded.
Interface. Nope, you're over my head.
It's rowdy. If you want to make like a dashboard for a Lexus.
Yeah.
Just saying. If you want to trick out your Cybertruck.
We were talking about this for my boat. My dad's boat. Not my boat. My parents' boat. We're talking about this, like taking the autopilot for the boat. I think we had this conversation.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's real cool.
Serverless autopilot one day.
Robot crossbow as a service.
Robot crossbow as a service. Send crossbow bolts to your enemies.
That's right. Internet murder. Does it get any better than that?
I don't think so. All right, so let's wrap this thing up. Let's do our picks of the week. Every week we come up with our favorite stuff in the ecosystem, products we've bought, things that have affected us, recommendations, etc. I know what mine is. I think you know what mine is, but like,
I hope it's not mine.
Well, let's go with yours. You can start.
I'm going to start. And my pick of the week is fucking incredible. So Jared hits me up out of nowhere with his weird bullshit. And he starts telling me, he starts touting the benefits of air quality. And
I sent, you know, I sent Ken like a 5-paragraph essay.
Yeah. And then like a talk by DHH as well. So like, you know, I like Jared and I think he's a smart guy. So when he tells me something, it doesn't come off as a sales pitch. It comes off as genuine. So I said, wow, like he's a smart guy. Like if this is a thing, then, you know, perhaps he's onto something here. So I go and I watch the talk and there's science that says that air quality actually affects like cognitive performance. And I try to optimize cognitive performance.
Above everything else?
I am a drunken asshole at night, but during the day when I'm working, this shit is very far away from me. I'm actually optimizing cognitive performance at every step of the way. So I go and he recommends an air purifier and it's in my office as we speak. You probably hear it right now. It's an Allen Breathe Smart and I've had it for a day and a half and I've never felt better in my entire fucking life.
Sharp
like
as fuck.
Blowing. It's like blowing fat fucking lines of fresh air. It's fucking incredible.
Clean air, not just fresh, clean air.
Clean air. Like, I've been alert as fuck all day long.
Dude, it's life fucking changing.
I'm sitting there last night playing Call of Duty, fucking 60 kill rounds. 60 kill rounds. This shit is, I can't even wait to like do filthy bedroom things with this in the room. I don't even know what's going to happen.
You know what?
If I take coding and fucking playing video games as the benchmark, who knows what this can apply to? I haven't even fucking jogged with this thing on yet. Have you exercised with this?
It could get to 7 inches long, Ken. You don't know.
We'll see. Know. We'll see. It'll squeeze a half inch out. We'll see how it goes.
It could happen. But have I exercised? Yeah, I did yoga in my house with it, and I was like, holy fuck, dude. Like, I'm on a different astral plane right now.
Dude, it's incredible. Dude, I've been on a different astral plane all day long. And I'm not saying I don't lightly endorse products.
Ever.
But this dude, like, I had my boy over, and my boy is, I'm like mentoring him and shit. And like, he comes over like once or twice a week, right? And he comes over, and my office right here, this basement office, is fucking dank. Like, it's like, and I don't mean dank like cool. I mean dank like actual dank. It's like very fucking vapey and dusty and shitty. And he came in, and he's like, yo, he's like, I can really tell the difference, man. Like, I fucking breathing clear as fucking this bitch. And I was like, yo, true story, right? And he's like, yeah, man. Like,
and what did your daughter say? My nose is working better. What did she
say?
Yeah.
She says my nose is working better.
Yeah. So that was my pick of the week. Alien air purifier. That was definitely like pick of the week for me too. Like, I got this thing. I watched this talk from DHH, and I was just like, apparently, like, if you have better air quality, you can perform almost like 3x better than you would without it. And you don't even know.
Dude, I've been shitting fucking excellence today.
Same.
Like just pissing and shitting excellence. It's incredible. Yeah.
And then the other shout out, I guess, like, for the week would be, for me, I'm going to throw it up to Next.js. That's my pick. And Next.js Canary specifically. Because they have this new thing, dude, that is tight as fuck. If you go on the experimental, like, branches or put on the experiments and stuff, they have this, like, wildcard routing. They also have static analysis. So, you know, like, remember that thing they have, like, get initial props?
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. Well, now they split that out into get initial props. No, get server. Oh, sorry. Get static props and get, like, static params and also, like, get server props. Anyways, what the difference is get like static props runs once on build, and then like get the other version of it runs like dynamically. So what the difference is, like, get initial props was like this like blunt instrument of like, we're only going to run this at build time or never. But what this does, it lets you like and they also like tree shake it. So if you do like get static props, you can like build a static blog and use like the file system API inside of get static props, right? So it's just like a pre-build hook, but it's co-located at the component instead of like in some sort of route tree or separate file like Gatsby config, cough, right? Like it runs at the component level. So shout out to Tim and the Next.js team fucking doing that.
It's I have a awesome. Second pick of the week.
Okay, yeah, second pick of the week. Oh, I have another
I'm
one.
I'm sorry, too. I had to do this, but I have a second pick of the week, and as you know, I've been in the market for a computer upgrade for a very fucking long time.
Oh, did you get one?
I have. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I've sat there and I've thought about the Razer Blade Stealth. I've thought about a ThinkPad. I've thought about a lot of different computers. Right. I've mulled this over. I've been tortured over what is going to fucking supersede my MacBook Pro 2015 13-inch, which is
maybe the best computer ever.
Arguably the finest computer ever created. It's right over here standing.
It might be the best ever.
I don't know if you can see it. See this little guy right here?
It might go down history. It has the ports.
It's the best computer ever made. But I needed a new one, and I'll tell you why. Because I make the fucking best music you've ever heard in your entire life. And as part of that, I need more CPU. I need more storage. I need to make fucking dank beats. So I needed to upgrade. Right, it was a specs thing, and it was mostly for music, not for programming. So I went ahead and bit the bullet, and I got a MacBook Pro 16-inch, and I have to tell you that this thing fucks at levels that scientists said weren't even possible, but it does.
Wow!
They unfuck the keyboard. It's faster than a motherfucker, dude. This, like if you're still on like a 15 or like a 2015 era shit. Right, the accoutrements are ridiculous. I don't fuck with the touch bar that much because the shit is mounted right now. Right, like I have the shit on like a widescreen monitor.
Yeah.
Use like a mechanical and everything like that. But like, there's like a fucking fingerprint to do your password shit. Like, it's fast. The keyboard's not fucked up. There's an escape key. I'm telling like if you've been holding out on buying a computer, and you've been holding on to your 2015 for dear life, this is it, chief.
Dude, all right, let's wrap this thing up. Ken, last final thoughts on Jamstack and serverless.
It fucks.
He fucks heavily.
Heavily.
Heavily. Well, thanks, folks. Thanks, Backlinks Conf. This was awesome. We appreciate you. Thank you to all the sponsors. Big shout out to the team at Zeit for hooking this up. They're awesome. You're awesome. We're awesome. My name is Jared Palmer.
And I'm Ken Wheeler.
And this has been an episode of the Undefined Podcast. You can check out all of the rest of our stuff at undefined.fm. And if you're feeling up to it, go to the store and buy some funny stuff that has to do with all the episodes, or just support the team and buy the Kenny bling necklace. Any of these things are possible and in your and available to you. It's just a question of, will you take that extra step?
And go to my SoundCloud too.
So anyways, folks, thanks again. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all the love and support. Peace.